And it's another Tuesday. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. Thank you for listening. Tonight we're going to talk about life, and we're going to talk about hope and everything that goes along with that. So we're going to look at the narrative, and we've talked about that before on this show, and I've written about it, but what is the narrative of the day? What is the narrative of our culture? What does society say about abortion? What does society say about life? And then what is the local church? What is pro-lifers saying? What are we saying about life? What are we saying about abortion? So the narrative of the day is a destructive one. Destructive. 3,000 abortions occur every single day in America, the freest country on the face of the planet. 3,000 abortions every single day. And the pro-choice, the abortion lobby, would argue that that's not enough. We need more. Now, they do that under the guise of women's health, but they say we need more. We need more access, more availability to abortions, to the pill, to fill in the blank. So yes, as pro-lifers, we certainly have an uphill battle. We can argue all we want that abortion is wrong. We can argue all we want that life should be celebrated and should be valued. But what can they say? They can always say, well, abortion is legal. And it is. Abortion is legal. So how do we combat this? How do we change this narrative? Well, first, what is our narrative? So if society and if culture and if the pro-abortion, the pro-choice lobby, if their narrative is destructive, if their narrative is more abortions on demand, then what is our narrative? Our narrative is love, service, care, women's health. This is the winning narrative. We are not the alternative. Now, please understand that Hope Resource Center is not the alternative to abortion. Abortion is the alternative. Life is the primary. That's what it is. So you have to choose an alternative, and an alternative would be whatever happens instead of carrying the pregnancy to full term. So again, we are not the alternative. Women's health is now code for what? For abortion. That is now code for abortion, women's health. So we must take that back. Why is that important? Well, it's important because the abortion on demand lobby will attack. So when we come after them and we say, well, you don't understand, abortion is wrong, well, they claim we attack women's health. When we offer legislation to restrict abortion, what do they claim? They claim we attack women's health. When we attempt to have thoughtful debate and discourse, what do? They claim we are attacking women's health. So the pro-choice lobby has found success in attacking us. They label us backwoods, right-wing extremists, women haters, foolish, ignorant. Those are the things that they will call us. And those labels, although false, have certainly stuck. And so what do? We love, serve, and care. We love, serve, and care. We're not women haters. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. At Hope Resource Center, I'm the only male on the staff. So it'd be crazy to think that the 13 other staff members who are female hate women and hate women's health. Well, that's dumb. So that argument falls. But yet they claim that we are women haters. We have been losing the narrative. Why have we been losing the narrative? Well, we've been losing it because the pro-life movement for many is simply a stance. It doesn't move you to engage. It doesn't move us to do anything more than a bumper sticker, a license plate, or voting for particular candidates. Now, all those things are good. Putting a bumper sticker on your car that says you're pro-life is at least identifying with the movement. Buying one of those pro-life license plates is at least identifying with a movement. Voting for pro-life candidates is identifying with a movement and seeking to make a difference from a legislative process. Those are good things, but those alone are not going to push the narrative that we wish to see. We must engage further. Why has pro-choice been so successful? Now, they've been so successful, certainly part of that is 1973 Roe v. Wade, but that's not all of it. They have spoken out. They have engaged. They've gotten involved at the political level, the cultural level, and a neighbor level. So what does that mean? Well, the political level is an obvious way. They have political action committees. They have lobbyists. At a neighborhood level, they are working within their neighborhoods. They're talking at schools. They're talking to their neighbors. At a cultural level, they're making abortion now as not a taboo word. Right? They are saying it more. You're seeing it on primetime television. So they have engaged in the process. They are not whispering, so why do we? We have a message worth sharing, the message that is based in love. We don't prey on the vulnerable. Instead, we serve the most vulnerable among us. There's 2,500 clinics across the country seeking to stand in the gap. 2,500 pro-life clinics seeking to stand in the gap. These clinics are funded by individuals, churches, businesses. And then we offer all these free services: pregnancy tests, STD testing, ultrasound, parenting classes, mentoring, material assistance. At Hope Resource Center, that is between 40 and 50 baby showers a year. It's parenting classes that are going right now as I speak. They're happening right now at Hope Resource Center. We saw 17 patients today at Hope Resource Center. And guess what? We didn't take a dime from any of those patients. We didn't seek reimbursement from the state for those patients. We didn't seek reimbursement from their insurance, from the insurance of those patients. So it's no burden on the taxpayer. It's no burden on the patient. That is love. That is women's health. At Hope, we average over $550,000 a year in services. We pay for that because we care about life in and out of the womb. You see, our decisions are not made based on the bottom line. So we're not making decisions based on what our profit margins look like, because we're not worried about profit margins. All we care about is serving the community, all peoples and all nations. Why? Because they are image bearers. Every individual that comes into Hope Resource Center is an image bearer, made in the image of God. That has value. That matters to us. Their financial background, their insurance status, their ability to pay does not matter to us. This is the narrative that we push. A narrative that is rooted in love, not bitterness, indifference, or hate. We get engaged and celebrate life. Why? Because lives literally depend on it. Now, we know that Roe v. Wade stands, but the heart of the people is up for grabs. So there might have been a court decision in 1973. And there might be an uphill battle for us pro-lifers to make a difference within our communities. But the hearts of the people are up for grabs. The hearts of our neighbors. The hearts of those walking into Hope Resource Center. So we get to work. Pro-choice is rooted in bitterness and anger at the pro-life movement. And I'll just be honest, there's a lot of us pro-lifers that our stance is rooted in anger and bitterness. And if I'm not careful, I find myself there often. But it can't be rooted there. Because when it's rooted there, we are not going to make any kind of inroads into seeing changes within our society. So what do? Well, we go to work. We get our hands dirty. We speak up. We engage. We lend our voice, wallets, and time to the movement. This is how the culture of death becomes the culture of life. So we can't sit by while the vulnerable are preyed upon. Because, folks, there is something better. They are loved. They do matter. They do have value. Millions of people wish to see men, women, and babies loved. And now it's time for those millions to come out of the shadows and allow our actions to match our words. Because this is the only way the thinkable becomes the unthinkable. Because right now, abortion is okay. And see, our goal is for abortion to be unthinkable in a civilized society. Right? So we're not the hateful ones. We're not the bitter ones. We have the message. We have a message of love. We have a message of service. We have a message of care. We have the real women's health message. Because women, it boggles my mind that women's health is now synonymous with abortion. Now, why do you think the pro-choice lobby did that? Well, they did that because they know that people get kind of cringy when you say the word abortion. So they thought, well, we have to use a different word because that word is going to turn some people off. So if we say women's health, well, everyone celebrates women's health. Everyone stands for women's health. So they're going to bring more people onto their side, and it's worked. And that's smart marketing. Now, it's deceiving, and it's not true, but it's smart marketing nonetheless. And so what we have to do is we have to, excuse me, we have to take that phrase back. We have to take women's health back. It is not synonymous with abortion. Why? Because there are women, future women, inside those wombs. Do you understand that? When we celebrate abortion on demand, this is why the feminist argument always falls on its face. Anything you can do, I can do better is the argument, right? Well, guess what women can do that I absolutely cannot do? I cannot have a child. So one of the most feminist things you can do is to have a baby, because I can't do that. But women can. And so really what the pro-abortion lobby does is it takes that one thing that women can do that men can't do, it takes that away from them. And it says, you're not prepared for this. You're not strong enough to take care of this baby. Well, we know that's not true. And so we have to take women's health back. Women's health is truly about loving, serving, and caring for women. It's not simply abortion. And we're going to talk more about that here in a second when we get back. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in a second. I'm Andrew, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. As I said earlier, right now as I talk, we are having parenting class at Hope Resource Center. So we have 15 patients, roughly 14, 15 patients in the building right now learning how to parent. They're preparing for their baby to arrive. So that is important to note. A lot of people will say, well, all y'all care about is getting the baby born. You're not caring about the mom. You're not. Well, that's just not true. It's not true. So please, when you hear folks say things like that, point them to Hope Resource Center. Point them to other pro-life clinics in the country that are doing work to celebrate life, doing work to prepare parents and equip parents. And so recently I came across an article tweeted out by Planned Parenthood's Political Action Committee. Now, this PAC didn't see the irony, or maybe they did, and they just wanted to kind of put it in our face, in lifting this quote. And here's what the quote said that they tweeted out. Playing politics with abortion is playing with women's lives. Now notice that the playing politics line is coming from a group that was built and formed to, well, play politics. Because that is what a political action committee is. They are seeking to make a difference by using political means. So who is playing politics with abortion? Now I could spend my time chasing that rabbit trail, but I would prefer to focus on a particular point made in the article that I read. As the author hones in on the defunding of Planned Parenthood to the tune of $1.4 million in Ohio. So Governor John Kasich and the legislature in Ohio says, hey, we're going to pull state funding from Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in the country. The author then points out the specific areas where these lack of funds may have an impact as they focus on the services that do not include abortion. So we are told that HIV/AIDS testing and education in minority communities, testing and treatment for sexually transmitted diseases, education for young people about abstinence and contraception, breast and cervical cancer screening for low-income women, outreach and care to pregnant women to help decrease infant mortality, prevention and education programs aimed at reducing sexual violence against women, will all go away when any legislation is passed seeking to take government funds from Planned Parenthood. Now, this argument is not based in fact nor the truth. This argument is rooted in a biased pro-choice agenda. You see, the author fails to acknowledge that there are thousands of pro-life clinics and local county health departments in this country providing these very same services. They also fail to mention that the thousands of pro-life clinics, like Hope, are providing these services at absolutely no cost to the patient. You see, we do not charge the state, an insurance company, or the patient. We provide our services over $550,000 annually at Hope because we care deeply about those in need. The vast majority of pro-life clinics are also not receiving a dime from the state or federal government. Hope isn't seeking to create a PAC that will help us push a political agenda or line our pockets with taxpayer dollars. We instead choose to stand with individuals, churches, and businesses. Our partnerships allow us to continue this work. We call this the Strangers Standing for Strangers model. Thousands of people every year donate to Hope and other pro-life clinics seeking to help the most vulnerable in our communities. The motivation to give remains the same regardless if our patients make up neighbors that our donors may know or strangers that they may never know. This is the truth that the author in that article in the abortion lobby want to silence. They would prefer to label pro-life clinics and their supporters extremists. They do not seek a thoughtful conversation on women's health or abortion. They seek instead to paint an unflattering picture of those that seek to stand for life. Now, I understand that some hearing this will argue that I myself am pushing an agenda. They may say that I am being disingenuous and only seek to see the closure of abortion clinics everywhere. Well, this argument would be partly true. I do have an agenda. It is life and the celebration of it. I'm not hiding that truth. I desire for every life to be valued and given a chance. I desire for every abortion clinic to go out of business. I am not insincere, though. This is where their argument would fail. I sincerely and genuinely wish to have a thoughtful conversation on abortion and life. I sincerely want to help the most vulnerable among us in and out of the womb. I sincerely want us to equip and prepare parents for their future. The issue here is not women's health. I have never met anyone that opposes women's health. The issue isn't even simply on abortion. I and others have strong opinions on this topic, but the larger issue, and the one we must grapple with in a thoughtful manner or debate, is the state and federal funding of abortions. You see, our current set of laws deem abortion a legal act. Now, I disagree with that and will spend my lifetime seeking for that to change, but it is legal nonetheless. The issue looked at in the article that I read is not simply defunding Planned Parenthood. It is actually the taxpayer funding of the largest abortion provider in the country. Truth in our discourse should matter. It is difficult to have a legitimate conversation on these issues when we fail to root those conversations in truth and honesty. So pulling $1.4 million from Planned Parenthood will not prevent women from getting proper care. Now hear that again. Pulling that money will not prevent women from getting proper care. That is the truth of the matter. Now, I understand that truth may hurt some feelings and or a narrative, but we should be a people that celebrate truth in discourse and debate. This is how we move forward and see our communities get better. Hope will continue to work with community partners, both secular and religious, as we seek to make a great impact on Knoxville and surrounding areas. We welcome thoughtful conversations and discussions as to how we can improve this community as we serve its people. You see, so all the argument about the defunding of the largest abortion provider in the country isn't about the services that they provide that don't have anything to do with abortion. The argument is about federal and state money going to an organization to pay for abortions. That's the problem. Again, at Hope Resource Center and most of the pro-life clinics around the country, we're not getting state funding. We're not getting federal funding. And so, but let's just say that we're okay with that. No one's going to argue that the government may need to step in at times and help out men and women in crisis with their healthcare needs. Those that are struggling, those that need that assistance. So even if that was a legitimate argument, the larger argument that we're faced with is, should those same tax dollars go to actually paying for those abortions? Right? So the analogy that I've used before is, back in the day, the mafia did a lot of good things in neighborhoods. Right? So at Thanksgiving, they might give a turkey to everybody in the neighborhood. At Christmas, they might make sure your children had toys under the tree because you couldn't afford it. Well, that wasn't the issue. The issue wasn't the turkeys and the toys. The issue was what they were doing on Friday and Saturday nights The issue was the killing. The issue was the drug dealing. The issue was all those other things. Those activities, that was the problem. So though we may celebrate giving turkeys to families in need, though we may celebrate putting toys under a Christmas tree for a family that is in need, if we give money to that, then are we not also celebrating and condoning the other actions that they perform? Well, that's where we lie with Planned Parenthood. Now they would say, well, that's a terrible illustration because Planned Parenthood is not the mafia. Well, I'm not saying that they're the mafia. What I'm saying is when they perform abortion, and they perform it more than anyone else in the country, if our tax dollars then go to them, then my tax dollars are then condoning and allowing them to continue their work. It's allowing them to perform those abortions. Abortions, mind you, that they are charging for. So it'd be different. Again, I could even at least have that discussion. Well, we're not charging for abortion, so we need the tax dollars to make sure we can provide them. But no, they're charging for them. So they're getting tax dollars and they're charging everybody that comes in the door. How does that make sense? And we're going to talk more when we come back.
As you head home on the highway, lock us in on the Joy 620 Drive at 5.
Stop the run, can't stop the run, we can't stop the run.
And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you for listening today. Every Tuesday afternoon, we are here. And so today we're talking about the narrative. And we've talked about this a number of times on the show, but I think it's important to go back to, because as we look to get more people on board with the pro-life movement, there are different ways to do that. Now, one of the ways of not doing it is being bitter, is being hateful, is being angry. We need to have thoughtful conversations with people. We need to have thoughtful discourse with people. And so the reason that I went over the messaging and really our narrative today is because when we have those conversations and when people want to label us extremists and when people want to say those things to us, you can, in this area, in the Knoxville area, you can say, I stand with Hope Resource Center. Here's what Hope Resource Center does. Hope Resource Center provides all of these services at no cost. There is no judgment. They have licensed medical staff. They have nurses and nurse practitioners that are serving the medical needs of those that walk in our doors. Again, 17 patients walked in to Hope today and were served well. And so it isn't that we are some kind of extremists. We simply love and seek to serve. And so that is what we do. That is what we do at Hope. That is what other pro-life clinics are doing. And so when we have the conversation with our neighbor, when we have that opportunity, we need to be sharing that message. When someone says, well, conservatives are right-wing nut jobs, they don't care about women's health. When they say those things, you can say, well, I don't know who you're calling those names, but let me tell you what I believe women's health is. And let me tell you why I'm pro-life. Let me describe what that means to you. Not in a hateful way, not in a condescending way, not in a judgmental way. But it's simply saying that, look, I believe every life has value. Why? Because every life was made in the image of God. I mean, Scripture tells me, and I have a biblical worldview, Scripture says that God knitted me together in my mother's womb. That's a pretty big deal. That means that life was valuable inside the womb. So Scripture also says that I knew you before the foundations of the earth. Well, that means that I've always had value to the creator of the universe. So that matters. Now, secular folks and non-Christians will say, well, we don't believe in that mumbo jumbo, and that's just hogwash, and that's mystical thinking, and none of that matters. Okay, well, let's go the secular route then. The secular route would say, well, we have people in need. They don't have the finances. They have a history of drug abuse. They have a history of sexual abuse. They have a history of physical abuse. They find themselves in crisis. They don't have insurance or their own state funding insurance. They don't have a home. So how does the secular person, the non-believer, decide how we should deal with that person? So pose that question to them. So what should we do? Now, one argument they say may be, well, the government should take care of them. So then follow that up. Follow that up with a question. Well, what if the government doesn't have the funding? And then here's what you can say. Well, let me tell you about Hope Resource Center and what they do. They serve any and everyone that walks in their door. It doesn't matter if they're Christian. It doesn't matter if they're straight. It doesn't matter if they're homosexual. It doesn't matter if they're transgender. It doesn't matter if they have a lot of money. It doesn't matter if they have insurance. Whether they have a history of physical abuse, sexual abuse, or anything. They're going to be taken care of medically. So if someone walks into the door at Hope Resource Center and needs a pregnancy test, guess what they're going to get? A pregnancy test. If someone walks in and they get a positive pregnancy test and they need an ultrasound, guess what they're going to get? An ultrasound. If someone walks in and they need STD testing, what are they going to get? They're going to get STD testing. And then if they have a positive test and they need treatment, what are they going to get? They're going to get treatment. And what's that going to cost them? What's that going to cost the state? What's that going to cost the federal government? Zero. See, that's not bringing them into Hope Resource Center and beating them over the head with the Bible. That is simply us saying, and our supporters and donors saying, every person in this community matters to us. And we do not want finances. We do not want insurance. We do not want bank accounts. We do not want any of that to be a hindrance for someone to get the care that they need. And so when they walk into our doors, they get the care that they need. Well, then we do an ultrasound. And then they're on the fence. Do I want to have this baby? Do I want to terminate this baby? Do I want adoption? What am I going to do? Well, they're going to have a conversation with our medical staff on all the options in front of them. Now, I will put the cards on the table. We do not refer for abortion. But if someone wants to walk out of our building and go get an abortion, we can't stop them. We just will not provide it, and we will not refer them somewhere. But if they want to come and get a pregnancy test and get an ultrasound at Hope for no charge and then walk or drive down the road to an abortion clinic and have an abortion, that is their prerogative. Now, it would break my heart, but that is their prerogative. So there's no one putting a gun to anyone's head. But what it is we're not charging for any of that. We're not putting that burden on the taxpayer. We're not putting that burden on the state. And so that is why our message is a message worth sharing with the populace. Because they can throw all the stones they want our way. But ultimately, they cannot argue with what we're doing. Because what we're doing is saying, regardless of who you are, if you walk in our doors, you're going to get service. I mean, that is what we do at Hope Resource Center. And so as you're talking to folks, you don't have to go the angry rhetoric way where we're just talking about how much we hate abortion. When we talk about our message, it's not how awful the other side is. It's how amazing our message is. It is showing them this is how we love. It is showing them, you know, that if they want to argue with our biblical stance, well, take that away for a second. It is showing them medical journals that say life begins at conception. It is showing them ultrasounds at a very early stage where we can see life, heartbeat. It is talking about what is inside of a womb as what it is, a human. That is the message that we have of love and service and care. Because we spend every day seeking to serve the community. And then seeking out ways. We had a conversation today. How can we make our parenting classes better? How can we schedule them in a way that's going to be better for the patient and allow us to see more patients? You see, when the staff brings that to me, I'm not thinking, well, okay, now we're going to have to charge more for that so that we can get more money out of these patients. I don't do that. That doesn't mean I don't think about budgets. I have to think about budgets. I'm leading an organization. I'd be dumb not to think about the budget. But what I do is seek to find ways where we can serve this community the best and most efficient way. And then I go out and share that story with people all over this community, all over the country. And then they see that message. They see the impact that we're having. And they want to be a part of it. So then they give. They pray. They stand with us. So there's plenty of opportunities to do that. Because, again, this is a life message. So I'm not hiding my agenda. My agenda is a clear one. Life deserves to be celebrated in the womb and outside of the womb. I want to see abortion clinics close their doors. I'm not hiding that. But to argue, like the article did that I mentioned earlier, to argue that when you pull funding, federal and state funding, from the largest abortion provider in the country, well, then we are not going to be able to offer STD testing and parenting classes and pregnancy tests and ultrasounds and STD treatment and abstinence education and all, to argue that we won't be able to offer that if Planned Parenthood doesn't receive $1.4 million from the state of Ohio is not true. It is simply not true. And it's not sincere. Be honest in those discussions. The largest abortion provider in the country is a darling to many. Now, I disagree with that, but at least be honest in those conversations. Because when the funding is pulled from them, I can assure you there's pro-life clinics in Ohio that'll step up. I can assure you there's health departments in the counties that'll step up. I promise you they will. They're already there. And they're not a burden, except the county health departments, but the pro-life clinics are not a burden on the taxpayers. We'll finish up when we come back. That's another show. Another show in the books. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. We'll be here every Tuesday night talking about life and issues. So the reason I brought up what I did tonight is because we are currently in a time where culture and society has just, there's so much anger, there's so much animosity, that everything's polarizing, every single issue. It doesn't matter what you say. You can say, I love my kids' kindergarten class, and someone's going to take exception to that and want to argue. And so what we as pro-lifers, what we as believers need to do is step up and not fuel that, but instead seek to engage in thoughtful ways. So when we do that, we're not being hateful. We're listening to what another may have to say. Now there are times where you can't even have that conversation. And I know that my job allows me to have conversations that others may not, because when people say, what do you do for a living? I say, I'm the executive director of Hope Resource Center. Oh, well, what is Hope Resource Center? Well, then that allows me to say, well, we are a pro-life medical clinic in Knoxville. Oh, what does that do? And then I can go into what we do and why we're pro-life and the services that we provide. And so as you have those opportunities, you don't have to be angry. Why? Because our message isn't one of anger. The very reason that we open our doors isn't out of anger. We didn't open Hope Resource Center solely to see abortion clinics close across the city and across the country. Now, was that part of the mission? Sure. Sure. But that wasn't the sole mission. We seek to serve those that are in crisis. And so as we do that, as we open our doors, as we grow this movement, then more and more will come alongside of us. We're already seeing it with young people. We're seeing it with millennials. More and more are pro-life. They're certainly more pro-life than their parents were. And so that is a good sign. The pendulum is swinging in the right direction. So let's not mess that up by being hateful and angry all the time. Instead, let's have thoughtful conversations, fruitful conversations about why we are pro-life. Let's make sure that our rhetoric, let's make sure that our discussions and our words support that. So we celebrate babies. But we also understand that there are men and women that are in crisis that are facing very difficult decisions. And in their moment and in their situation, they truly feel like abortion is an actual option for them. We can't neglect that. So we need to have the conversation rooted in love, rooted in service. And you can have that in a secular way or a biblical way. But it's rooted in love. And so that is why we serve. That is why we do what we do. So coming up for Hope Resource Center, if you haven't already, you need to sign up and play golf with us. We have a golf tournament coming up September 26th at Gettys View. And we want you to be a part of that. You can go to investinghope.com/events and you will see that there. There's tons of ways to get involved with us right now. We're in the middle of Battle of the Bottles between Grace and CAK. That comes to a culmination on Friday night at the football game, and we'll update you next week on the amount of money that we raised there. So much stuff going on in Hope. Get involved. Stand for life. We appreciate you. We love you, and we'll talk to you next week.